I'd like to greet you all in Jesus' name. I think we all kind of get used to that whole thing that we always want to greet each other in Jesus' name, but it is a precious name. And may He bless you this morning. I think from the last time we saw each other that the Lord has blessed us with many blessings. If we just look into the news of things that have happened this week, and the first song we sang, number 79, it said this, that death has many captives numbered, while we this night peacefully slumbered. If we think about that during the night, how many people have been called into eternity, and we have been blessed to come here this morning, and the Lord has still granted us life and peace to be here like this, we can truly say we're blessed. And I know that God is good because we can sit here peacefully this morning. And God has not dealt with us according to our sin, not according to my sin. We would stand condemned before God if it was according to that. And so that's why we can call grace amazing. And the measurement of grace is equal to God's own nature. God's nature is beyond anything we can ever measure. And as Paul says in Romans chapter 5, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. I'd like to greet you all in Jesus' name. Whether it's a brother or sister here in the church, or if you're a guest traveling through, may the Lord be with you. In the world that we live in today, we live in a world of contrast. And Satan is continually trying to take out the gray crayon and trying to cover over the black and whites in our life. In our day and age, just about everything looks gray. The most popular verse in the world we have today is, "Thou shalt not judge." It has overshadowed John 3:16. The crayon that Satan loves to use is gray. Don't judge. Do not use any discernment. Just let everything fly. Let everything go. And yet we take the Bible and we see something completely different. We see that there is life, we see death, we see the kingdom of God, we see the kingdom of Satan. We see righteousness, we see sin. And if you go completely through the Bible, we could go on probably through a whole 30 minutes of just looking at contrasts. And yet, for some reason, that is continually being covered up. And the thing is, Satan is trying to use that great crayon to cover all these things up so we have no more concernment for one reason. And that is so that we will no longer live a righteous life, so we will no longer be a witness of God's power in this dark world. And he does this, and I've been hearing this more and more lately, and that is that I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. You know, there is only one way to be free from the law. And the Bible tells us that. Did you know that there is actually many, many blessings to why there is law in our world? If we look into just how trees grow, there are many laws that govern on how a tree grows. We could say, I want my tree to grow, but my tree is going to be different than any other tree. My tree does not need water. And you quit watering your tree, and your tree dies, and someone comes to your house and say, why'd your tree die? What do you mean? My tree is alive and well. My tree is just different than your tree. Your tree's green, mine's brown, but mine's alive, and yours is alive too. But that's kind of the kind of mindset that we carry into Christianity. In our day and age, there are many, many people that claim to be Christians and yet are no different than a dead tree. They don't want to be watered. They don't want to live under the laws of physics, of nature. In this world, we have many, many laws. We have moral laws of things that are right and wrong. We have spiritual laws, and those get covered up very easy because who can see spiritual things? Nobody. So we think. But Jesus He could do it. He could read people's minds. And there's natural law, spiritual law, and physical law, moral law. There's more laws than that. We could continue on. But if you really look into what law is all about, there are many purposes of law. First of all, it provides order. If there was no law in this room today, there would be absolute chaos. But the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. God is a God of order. You simply look at how trees grow. You look at how your DNA works and all these different things. It's amazing. And it blows doctors' minds over and over again that they continue to study the body and how it all works and the order that it all comes in. It just speaks that there is a God. And it's beautiful. But if we want to go down this road and we want to say that there is absolute no law, how far can we take this thing? Can we as Christians say, well, I don't believe in law anymore. I'm just under grace, so I'm not under this law. Then I'd like to ask you the question, if you're free from one law, which law would that be? And if it's just one, is it all of them? And if we're free from the law, does that include the Ten Commandments? And if we're free from the Ten Commandments, can you pick and choose which one you want and when you want? I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I'm going a little extreme here just to prove a point. But if I could walk up to one of you brothers and ask for your bank account number, and this week I would go in to draw out $100,000. And you would say, that's stealing. And I would say, no, there's no rules. No rules. There's no law saying I can't do this. Or let's go a little bit further. Now let's say that brother, he gets upset with me. And he goes home and gets a 45 and just shoots me here in church. And there's no law. Everything's okay. Not a problem. There's got to be somewhat order in our world. Another extremity would be, if that's truly the case, that we are not under the law, then one brother from this side could walk over to this side, commit adultery with a sister, with the husband watching, and say, this is all okay. There's no such thing as moral law. And yet we're hearing people say these things more and more, I'm not under the law. The question is, where do you draw that line where law begins and where law ends? I think the real problem that we run into in all of this is where you draw that line. See, you got some people, your average teenager, really like the word freedom, so they kind of like a little more rules. The more or a little less rules, that gives you more freedom. But the problem with more freedom, there's more risk. And then once you get a little older and you've experienced more things in your life, then you see that it's really nice to have order, so you like to have a little more government, a little bit more law in your life, because that provides a little more security. And as a father, you want to try and raise your family as secure as you can. And in the middle of that, we're all different people. We all have different views. And we're all trying to fit this all together in one church building. And this whole thing about law is becoming more and more challenging every day. We gotten to the point where a woman can have an abortion at 9 months. Partial birth abortion, if you know what that means, if you ever heard about it. I'm not going to say it here. Or divorce, remarriage. If there's no law, then all these things are okay. Until you start looking at the consequences that come from these things. People are choosing for themselves where this line is. In the Christian life, this thing from Old Testament has carried forward in some of the laws, and one of them is baptism. You see that in the Old Testament. You see that Moses told Aaron and his sons they're supposed to cleanse themselves before they enter into the priesthood. That's a form of baptism. It's called ablution, ceremonial cleansing. So we see that baptism carries forward into the New Testament. Jesus did it. And also we see communion. The Old Testament, we see you see the Passover. And then in the New Testament, we see the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. But let's go ahead and take over and look into Romans chapter 8, verse 1. We're going to start here. And we're going to look all the way through verse 6. But there is two contrasts that we have here in these verses. Paul does a very good job of contrasting these two. And he tells us exactly, if you're under condemnation or if you're not under condemnation, how are you freed from condemnation? So we're reading Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through verse 6. And so this is what Paul says here. Now, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And if you have something that's been translated from, for example, the New American Standard or some of the other versions, that's where it stops. But some of the other versions say, who walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there's a condition. Verse 2. Listen to this. For the law of the Spirit of life, there's a Spirit of life, there's a law there, he says it, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. There's two laws here. There's the law of the Spirit of life, and there's a law of sin and death. And then he says how it happened, and he says there in Christ Jesus, but in verse 3, he goes on, he says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. We cannot fulfill the law because we're weak in our flesh, so that's why Jesus came. It was weak in the flesh, and he says, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Can you imagine that? God sent his son. He was going to free us from sin, and he sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why? And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He had to take sin and condemn it and put it on the cross so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see all the contrast that Paul is doing there, even in verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There are two contrasts there, and it is you that gets to make the choice. You are the one that can determine your amount of blessing when you enter into eternity. Each and every day, you're making choices. The decisions you made yesterday are locked. You can never make those decisions again. And based on those decisions, you're going to be reaping what decisions you made yesterday in eternity. What decisions have you made? Do you ever go back and look in your life and look at the decisions you made and see if those are good or bad decisions? I think we need to evaluate our lives. A while back, and your youth are going to experience this, Brother John Lowen, we're having breakfast with him, and he made this point. He says that there is nothing passive in the Christian life, and that everything in the Christian life is life and active. It needs to be alive and going, but so many times that we take the Christian life and passive, we kind of just coast as a Christian. But you know, that's not the case. We can't just be coasting as Christians. We have to be actively trying to pursue what is the will of God for my life so that I can actually be participating in this Christian experience that I'm in so that I can be blessing other people's and be an encouragement in other people's life. And in verse 4 here, he says that you can actually fulfill the law of righteousness here in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, so it can be fulfilled. But he says not according to those who don't walk according to the flesh, but those who walk in the Spirit. So yes, we couldn't. There's no way we can fulfill the law. But now that Jesus came, that we can fulfill the law of righteousness because Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. As he says in verse 2. Again, where do you draw the line between what is right or wrong? Does your right and wrong line up with what is God's right and wrong? And if you're not on the same page with God, you are not fulfilling your righteous or his righteous plan in your life. Then comes my question, does your life testify that you have God in your life? Can other people see that Jesus lives in your heart? Can people other people see that? Paul, he was writing of the Romans, and he said in Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, he says in verse 14 that when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law to themselves, which show the work of the law written on their hearts and their conscience, also bearing witness in their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. Basically, he's saying that the way these Gentiles walk, they are not Jews, they don't know what the law contains, and yet the way they live their life completely proves they have the law written on their heart. Does that mean if you would take a Gentile and you would dissect their heart after they're dead and you'd see the Ten Commandments there? No. It is a matter of conviction. It is a matter of how they listen to the voice of God while they're living day by day. Verse 19. He says here, in our confident, thou art myself a guide to the blind. Verse 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Many of the Old Testament things are just shadows of something to come. They had the circumcision in order to prove that God is going to take away the flesh, the part that separates between us and God. And then he says here that it's all about the circumcision of the heart, something that's on the inside of us, not something that's just outward. But anything that's out inward is going to come outward also. It's amazing how many people today are stuck in unbelief and they believe that God cannot see the life that they're really living. Satan truly wants us to be blind to sin. Do you have a double lifestyle? How do you live whenever other people are not looking at you? When you're around your godly friends, you're always texting godly verses. But then whenever you're somewhere where nobody can see you, then all of a sudden everything changes. Now, are you being led by the spirit that leads to life or the flesh that leads unto death? This becomes very personal in our lives. And sometimes these vices in our lives makes us lose respect for ourselves. And because we lose respect for ourselves, we want to give up. And because we want to give up, we think, well, if this is all Christianity is about and everybody else is the same way, then I don't know if I want to be a Christian. And that is why it is so important that godliness is always in our life. That salt has not lost its savior, that we are still the city that sit on the hill, that we are still Christians that are still testifying that Jesus can set us free from sin. And whenever he sets us free from sin, he also separates us from death and gives us the gift of life. Satan today is still saying what he said to Adam and Eve in the garden. God has not said. That's not what the Bible says. He's trying to take away from the power of God's word because he knows it is the truth that sets us free. And if he can separate us from the truth, then he can tie us to death. There is no way you can get in between those two. Either you're alive or you're dead. If somebody was a dead corpse here today, every one of us would know. But today, so many people are living dead spiritual lives. Within them, they're screaming that I need some life, I need some help, I need some breath from God. And yet on the inside of them, it's a dead corpse. And yet they're trying to paint this picture that they're still alive. How much makeup can you put on a dead corpse so that it still looks alive? And that seems like that's what some people want to do. As we heard before, it's not the form. But what's on the inside will eventually come out. A tree is green because of the chlorophyll that is inside of the leaves. You take away the water and the nutrients that give it that chlorophyll, the tree will turn yellow. Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit. And if we are not bearing fruit as Christians, he's going to chop us off and throw us into the fire. Jesus' words. Why does anyone want to go to heaven if they want to live for the devil here? If this is the life we're living, either there's a lot of ignorance in our lives, or we're not a Christian at all. The Lord God wants the best for us. The devil wants the worst for us. Which voice are you listening to? There is that contrast there. Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said in Galatians 5 and verse 16, "This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." This is the only condition that frees us from the Old Testament law, and that is if you're being led by the Spirit. And do you know it is harder for us to be led by the Spirit than to be led by the law? And why I say that is, many people, they would rather be under the Old Testament law, something they can see, okay, there's a law number 423, I fulfilled that one. Jesus had that rich young ruler that came to him, and Jesus says, "Have you kept the commandments?" He says, "I have." Jesus said, "Sell everything you have and come and follow me." He couldn't do that one. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And the flesh and the Spirit are contrary to one another. Now, I'm going to use two physical laws in order to explain these biblical laws. And if an airplane is driving on a runway, he is under the law of the law of mass and gravity, okay? The earth is underneath the wheels, and it's holding the plane up, all right? But gravity is sucking the plane down onto the surface of the runway. But as this plane, the engine gets revved up by the pilot, and he gains momentum, and the thrust continues to gain speed on the airplane, and after he gets enough speed, he creates enough lift, and then he starts to operate under a whole new law. It's not gravity, or it's not mass that's holding him up anymore. It's lift. So as long as he's got thrust and lift, and the thrust and lift is greater than drag and gravity, he's going to stay in the air. And many times we get converted, and we accept Jesus Christ, and we get off the ground, and you know what happens? I'm born again. Pull the engine back, and boom, you crash and hit the ground again. Praise the Lord, I'm saved. And we're saying we're led by the Spirit. And you can just imagine all these people sitting at the airport watching this airplane running down the runway and just doing this, you know, always just hopping off the runway just a little bit. And they're looking at the end of the runway, there's a barn. And they're like, okay. And they're just thinking, I think we know what's going to happen. Do you know every day, people in their little airplanes are hitting the barn, and we all say this one thing, praise the Lord, he's with Jesus now. Are they really? We don't want to condemn anybody. And by not condemning anybody, we fail to tell people the truth. And because they don't hear the truth, they're not free. And because they're not free, they're condemned. I know that's not fun to hear. But if we can go out and tell people the truth and take this gray crayon that Satan's been using and throw it in the trash and start taking the crayons that God has, white and black, and painting the colors so that people can actually see the difference between righteousness and sin, so they can see the difference between life and death, between what the flesh is and what the Spirit says, then people are going to start gaining the thrust and the lift that they need so they can go over the barn, and not just that, so they can get the self-respect and the dignity in their lives so they can have the joy and peace of the Lord in their lives. And that's what we all want. I know that each one of you wants joy and peace in your life, and so do I. But you know what? It is the Holy Spirit that gives us that joy and peace. And if you're not living according to the Holy Spirit, you're never going to get the joy and peace. If you're living according to the flesh, and you're trying to wonder, why don't I have the assurance of salvation? Then quit wondering. Start reading your Bible. Read it, believe it, live it, and you'll have a blessed life. It's very, very simple. It's just we've gotten to the point there's so many distractions in our life anymore that we don't even feed ourselves what we need. I know that sounds very much like condemnation. Do you know the difference between judgment and condemnation? The difference between judgment and condemnation is this. Condemnation is, if I tell you, you're going to hell no matter what. And judgment is that if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to go to hell. There's a condition there. All of us are under these conditions, each one. And Paul, he is saying, you need to be moving forward in your relationship with Jesus Christ so that you don't get this condemnation. If you're living in the Spirit, you're not under the law. Then you are living according to the life of peace that God has really, really planned for you. And that's what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to be truly blessed. If we don't want to go to heaven, why are we living like this here? I heard a woman say once, I sure hope there's going to be a little bit of sin in heaven, otherwise it's going to be kind of boring. If you think carnally, that makes perfect sense. But if you think spiritually and you're tired of living in sin, and all you want is to be more like Jesus, you could never say, how would anybody ever want sin in heaven? One of my favorite evangelists, Keith Daniels, said this. He said, when I got converted, the man that preached the gospel to me, he said this, Brother Paul, if this banner, finished with the world, is not written above your life, where I come from in Scotland, you're not saved. If you're not finished with the world, you really don't want Jesus. Or maybe somebody's painted you the wrong picture of who Jesus is. Read the Bible. Find out who Jesus really is. Galatians 5:18 says, if you walk according to the Spirit, you're not under the law. The verse starts off with the word if. So there is a condition. And there's also a promise. The promise is you're not under the law. What is the condition for that? If you're walking according to the Spirit. He says also that if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit is being passive, just sitting there. But walking in the Spirit is when we actually move forward. It's momentum. How many of us would be content with getting an airplane and just sitting there? I've tried that a few times, that I watch our children. We're driving down the road. You drive for hours and hours and hours, and they're all sitting there content, looking out the window, watching the scenery go by. And you stop, and they all start getting restless. We're all sitting in the same vehicle, on the same seat, and they all start getting restless because we're sitting still. I wish we would all get restless in our spiritual lives because we're sitting still. I wish that whenever we sense we're not moving forward, that we get restless. So we have that urge, like many times, you know, the children would be like, Dad, why are we sitting here? And I wish that we would ask ourselves the question, why are we sitting here? Let's go ahead and step off the brake and step on the gas and let's start moving forward again. But for that, we need to be listening to that still small voice of God in our lives. And the Spirit of God's voice will always be confirmed by the Bible. The Holy Spirit will always say what the Bible says. Anytime you see that the Holy Spirit is saying something different, or you think it's the Holy Spirit, he's saying something different than what the Bible actually says, it is not the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. So you can take this verse, Galatians 5, verse 18, reverse it and helps us give us a little bit more truth out of that. If you're not walking according to the Spirit, you are under the law. If you're not walking according to the Spirit, you are under the law. And so if you're not living according to what the Holy Spirit is saying in your life, then you are accountable to keep the Old Testament law. Because the New Testament law has replaced the Old Testament law. And if you don't want to live according to New Testament law, you have to live according to Old Testament law. It's one or the other. But it really just comes down to having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Henry already shared this in the first German message. And I think we need to lift this up over and over and over again. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, Holy Father, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If you want to know him, you have to read the Bible. You have to read it, believe it, and live it, and you will be blessed. But you have to read the Bible. You have to be concerned. You have to be active. You have to be putting effort into your Christian walk. It's not that we are saved by our works. That we've heard that so many times, we're not saved by our works, that people completely let go. Okay, God's doing everything. I'm just kind of sitting here. It's kind of like I'm just going to bring my car to the car. My car is going to get cleaned even though I don't bring it to the car wash. No, you have to get it there. And then it will get cleaned. You have to present yourself to God. And then he will cleanse you and sanctify you. If you're not going to heaven, do you want to know that before or after you die? Solomon said in Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man, he looks at the future and he asks himself this question, where am I headed? Based on the actions of today, my decisions that I'm making, where am I headed? But the simple man, what does he say? Who cares? I'm having fun. That's life. I'd like to ask you a few more questions. Your Christian life, does it impact every part of who you are? What the Bible says does it impact every part of who you are? When you're here today, do you live a godly life? And tomorrow we go out on vacation and we throw all our Christian values out the door because we have a different set of rules when we're on vacation. Is that how we live? When we're with our friends, we live godly lives. But then when no one's looking, we go to the store and buy ourselves a six-pack. Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. All of these things are important. When we lose respect for ourselves, we lose focus of who God really has meant us to be. But that's who God wants us to be. He wants us to be the salt of the earth. He wants other people to see that you can truly live a godly life. You can look at a woman and look at her as a sister in Christ, not as a piece of meat as the world tries to teach us to be. There is a law of faith that sets us free. You don't just look at what we have right now. We look past that. I'm looking at different things. I'm looking at eternity. And that's what true wisdom is, looking at eternity and weighing my decisions based on where I want to be. You can either choose your path and accept your destination, or accept your path and choose your destination. You can choose to go to heaven and say, who cares what it takes for me to get there, but I'm going to heaven. Or you can say, I like the path I'm on, and when we get to eternity, we'll just see what's going to happen when you get there. There's those two decisions. Which one are you going to do? In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said these words. And it all has to do with a decision we have to make. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word. We have to hear God's word. We have to believe on him that sent him. And then if we do that, that's eternal life. And we shall not come into condemnation, but we have passed from death to life. That is a promise. That is something that we have to say. That's 100% true. I believe it. And that's how it's going to be. But that's not just one moment that we need this kind of faith. We don't just need faith just to get saved. After we get saved, we continue to build on that faith. It's something that's ongoing, that never ends. A plane doesn't just need gas to take off. He needs gas to get to his destination. And that is the Word of God. That is the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us the fuel, the motivation to go forward. As long as we are living by the Spirit, we will always have the thrust to get over all the sin and obstacles in our life. And so many of us, we're flying right around the tree line and the trees are hitting us and we're like, oh boy, what's this? It's kind of rocky here. And we should have gotten higher octane fuel. Well, the Holy Spirit has everything for us that we need. All we need to do is just pour it into our tank. They say this, garbage in, garbage out. What are you filling your life with? If you're walking according to the Spirit, you're under the law of life and peace. If you're walking according to the flesh, you're living according to sin and death. This, just those two contrasts, that is as clear as it can be. We don't just need faith for a moment. We need faith for a lifetime. We need to trust God daily, hourly, moment by moment. And as we continue to pray and read God's word, the Holy Spirit will lead us safely home. He is the one that's our guide. He's our teacher. He's everything we need to bring us back into the fellowship that we need. And that's what you call eternal life beginning right now. It's perpetual. It begins when you believe. And as long as you believe, you have eternal life until you see Jesus come in the clouds. One day he will. He will come in the clouds. John writes this in John 4, verse 23. If you want to turn there with me, John 4, verse 23. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Spirit or the Father seeketh such to worship him. Do you know God is looking for people to worship him? And worship is not something that where you have a bunch of people standing up on stage and pounding away on guitars and stuff. That is just a deception. True worship is a godly life. A true worship is something that you make a decision every day to glorify God, not do your own will. It's fun singing and worshiping God that way. But that is just the very coating of paint on the frame of the building. Offering up your body as a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ, that is acceptable worship in God's eyes. Living according to the Spirit. I want to give you this challenge this week. Every decision you make, weigh it by what God's Word says. Every time you open your phone, you weigh the decision and what you're going to look at based on the conviction that the Holy Spirit's going to speak into your heart. Even if it's not bad, if it's just wasting your time. The Bible says we're supposed to redeem the time because the days are evil. Do you not know that our life is but a breath? Very, very short. We have a very, very short time to be a light in this world. God is looking for true worshipers. Do you want to be one? God has created you to be a true worshiper, and he's given you everything that you need so you can be one. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. Jesus left so he could send his Spirit into all of our hearts so that we as a body of Christ are filled with the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can be those worshipers that he wants us to be. Jesus has drawn a line in the sand. In God's word, there's life. There's death. There's sin. There's righteousness. There's hell. There's heaven. There's Jesus. There's the devil. There is a line in the sand, and our convictions and our laws that we have that rule our lives all have to be measured based on what the Bible says. And the sands of time are slowly winding down in your life. What decisions are you going to make? And every decision you make today is something you can build on tomorrow. God has drawn that line in the sand. And if you accept that line, then you will be blessed if you're on the right side. Let's all kneel for prayer.